Welcome to the meeting. I have to tell you, when I walked in the door this morning, and I put my foot on the floor, and I saw the doan, and I saw the bells, and I saw the stand, and I saw the room. I was surprised, almost knocked over, by two things. One of which was a kind of gratitude that just came up just out of stepping on the floor, of seeing the doan, of seeing the bells, a kind of immense welling up that was inexplicable. It came from, you know, out of nowhere. It totally surprised me. And then the other thing that simultaneously that came up with that gratitude was something like a sensibility that I'm home. I'm home. It, you know, it felt home in the sense of my family, that a larger extended family, and I come here, I don't know, maybe once in a blue moon, and I still feel home. I feel that sense of, and it's the sense of the, not only the people here, and I didn't talk to hardly anyone when I came in into the building here, but the sense of home, of lineage, of you know, I came to the outside there, and all the shoes were organized in a nice row. And Uchiyama Roshi used to say that I can tell how my students are doing if their shoes are all organized. And then you come in, and there's a sensibility that is conveyed through how the room is set up, through the care and consideration. I feel care and consideration that the floor is taken care of in such a lovingly way, that the building conveys, you know, a certain sensibility of careful and considerate way. And when I first came to practice with Soben Catherine Thanis many years ago, I was more of a sensibility of a self-will, reckless individual. And so you take a self-will, reckless individual who is acting out of self-will, and you put them in the form of what you would call Soto Zen, the form of this Zendo. And it's a wonderfully interesting, you know, juxtaposition when that happens, when you take self-will run riot and you introduce the careful and considerate way. And, you know, it was sort of a wonderful corrective to me in ways that I'm still realizing, but it's, you know, practically, I don't know, astonishing that we're here and I'm here and we're practicing in this way all these years later. You know, this meeting like this, you know, devoted to sitting and devoted to Soben Catherine Thanis, in a sense is a way of, I always felt that Catherine was a devotee of meeting, of a, she was very grateful for all meetings, in a sense, that there was no meetings that she would disparage or put away or say, this is not, you know, I have a spiritual meeting I'm going to. She didn't say that. Her sense of meeting was with each and everything. And that was probably the first thing that that she taught me was this sense of taking care of each and every particular thing by focusing on our limited life, on our limited, very narrow life. We realize the unlimited life, in a sense, and that was her great gift to me, in a sense that that all things come forward and teach, and this whole structure of this Zendo, of this practice, in a sense, is a way of, for me, of realizing that, of helping me to realize and see that, helping me to acknowledge that, to become that. So it's sort of, it's wonderfully natural for me to come in and feel immense gratitude for that. It's as though, like Wallace Stegner said somewhere, that in his wilderness letter, that if we have wilderness, and I never even go there, but once every 10 years, it's still of immense value. It still is something that is held in my heart. This idea of wilderness was very dear to him, and something that, realizing that there is this wild beneficial nature out there. In a sense, same way, if I only come to Santa Cruz Zen Center once every 2 years, I'm enormously grateful because I know it's there. I know that you're there. I know that this practice is going on. I know that there's something called the careful and considerate way here that I can participate with. This sense of community. And I sometimes think, well, what did these ancestors want? What would they want for us? What would they want for you and me? What, down through the whole succession of ancestors, all through Buddha, all the way to Catherine Thanis, and they would want us to realize our Buddha nature. They would want us to be Buddha, to realize this unlimited life, in a sense, through these very limited ways and means. So it's, I feel enormously grateful to have met Catherine Thanis, to have been able to come to Santa Cruz Zen Center, and to still be able to come. It is something that that resonates for me, and has always resonated. I kept thinking in terms of coming in here today, and there's one teacher in our lineage who, for whatever reason, and this is, I'm just making this up in my head, but for whatever reason, there was one teacher who I'm always reminded of. I always see a nearness to their teaching and to Sobhan Catherine Thanis. I see a very similar heart and mind, and that's to Dongshan. When I think of Dongshan, I think of Catherine Thanis, and I think of Dongshan as our maybe one of our most important ancestors. But one of the characteristics that I always see of Dongshan is this wonderfully piercing intelligence, and then a very nuanced, subtle practice. Catherine was never very, at least with me, she was never very overt, but there was a subtlety and a nuanced, and it was as though, she never sat down and said, I'm going to tell you about this, that teaching or Zen. That was never her approach. She would always say, why don't you just, in a sense, just follow me. Follow me and see what happens to you. You know, I'm not going to give you something. There's not something here in my heart that I'm going to give you. Rather, there's something in your heart that maybe I can help you realize, or it can blossom. Maybe we can do that, but it was never her, at least with me, it was never her style to say, you need to know this, that, and this. Rather, why don't we practice and study together in some kind of way and see what comes out, you know, what comes out for you. You know, I love the so-called joke that the two teenage fish are swimming along and, they're swimming in one direction, and here comes this older fish and says to the two teenage fish, how's the water, boys? And the two teenage fish, after he's gone, say, what's water? And it was sort of like that with me, with Catherine, is that, you know, I had to go through. She would never give me things, and I would always ask for things. Can you please give me something? Can you? And her way was never like that, but more, what is going on with you, and how do you realize this? How do you realize the teaching of the Prajnaparamita Sutra? Not something as I, you know, would memorize, but in the sense of how do you live it, and how do you live it? Not how do you live it mimicking Catherine? How do you live it mimicking some other teacher? But how is it realized in your everyday affairs? And that was always sort of the wonderful gift that she gave me, is the gift of no gift, you know, the gift of no thing, rather than, you know, here, please, go do this. I was with her once at Tassajara, and I kept saying, and I had never been there before, and she was the Tanto there. And, you know, I kept asking questions like, where does the Tony Trail go? Or where does this go? And what happens when you go there? And what's this? And she would always say, why don't you go find out? Why don't you see what happens? And that was her way with me. You know, try this on. Why don't you do this? And I always think that she encouraged me. One time I showed up and I had a long robe on that I had borrowed. And she was delighted in the sense of, because I had such a reckless kind of carelessness to my movement, she wanted something to kind of contain me, to slow me down, to limit my movement, to show me how I moved. So she was delighted that, you know, that I was wearing one of these robes. One day she thought it was, you know, it would be a wonderful way to contain me, to hold me down. But I thought of Dongshong. And there's a wonderful story of Dongshong where, he says, just before leaving his teacher, Dongshan asked him, if after 100 years someone should ask if I am able to portray the master's truth, how should I respond? You know, so after this 5 years, how would I portray my master's truth? What would I say? What would I do? You know, how would I express it? And that's my question. How do I express Catherine's truth. How do I respect this great gift that she helped me to realize and understand? And Cloudycliff, the esteemed teacher of Dongshan, paused for a while and said, just this person, not some other person. You know, how do we express that? And it's through each one of our lives. It's through each one of our lives. It's not through somebody else's life, or it's not through us, you know, mimicking Catherine, but through just this person. You know, just this life, just this tired, hungry, befuddled, scared, anxious, grateful, immensely happy person, just through this person. It was always, you know, something that she conveyed to me that was so profound that she would bring forth all of these qualities and characteristics that were challenging, all of her limited life in the sense of what was vexing and troubling, and realize her unlimited life. You know, that was her great gift to me, to show how, you know, that, you know, like yesterday I came and I was at a public swimming pool, and one of those clothes drying things, it was way too loud. It was just, you know, it was so annoying and irritating. And then I came down to the beach here, and the birds went and caught and got my pizza. They took all my pizza. And then someone was playing Neil Diamond music, and it sort of went on and on and on, and all morning long like this. And I said, this is perfect. This is, Catherine would have relished this. She would have said, oh my God, what a gold mine you have now. What a great gold, what a great gift that you have, you know, that can teach you, you know, that you're selfish, your self-concern, your self-clinging, and here it is come in the form of Neil Diamond on the beach, annoying you to no end. You know, she used to love to tell stories such as that of her getting stuck, of her getting caught, and what happens when we get caught. How do we realize the truth of just this person in getting caught? And she used to, you know, we get caught every single day. When she was at Tassajara in the 1967 practice period, I believe, she was trying to find and establish a relationship with Suzuki Roshi, and she didn't know quite what that was. And so they had a Sosan ceremony where everyone gets to come forward and ask Suzuki Roshi, ask him a question. So Catherine gets up and goes to ask a question, and she says to him something like, Dako Roshi, who are you? And he kind of laughs, and he said, Me? Do you really see all of me? And she says something like, well, I see very much there. I see much is there. And then he goes on to say something to the effect that I'm paraphrasing, that I am a person, I'm a limited person of color, shape, size, and form, and I am someone who has this unlimited life with all being. And that was just that person. That was just that person, that limited, narrow form, and the one who is with all being. So this was the world that that she introduced me it to. The world when we, you know, walk on this floor and come in this room and realize this sort of, this beautiful unlimited life, that we also have a very limited life, and to appreciate that. So I'm immensely grateful that you're here. I'm immensely grateful that you're all here. I'm immensely grateful that we're all practicing in this way, in this beautiful Zendo, that I think I'll close with a poem. You cannot have a Catherine Thanis day without a poem. I don't think. I think it's almost required. She often conveyed a sense of even in the, you know, the seemingly mundane, even in the plain, even in our ordinary life, even in taking care of our ordinary life, we're actually taking care of our unlimited life. We don't see that. We don't recognize that. We don't acknowledge that. We have to do something to actualize that. But I would close with this poem by Juan Ramon Jimenez. It says, I feel that my boat has bumped there at the bottom into something big, and nothing happens. Nothing. Quiet waves. Nothing happens, or has everything happened? And we are already at rest in something new. We're already at rest in the midst of water, and we don't see it. So thank you very much. Means are bliss. Thank you.